Hi everyone, and welcome to Shit My Pants, a podcast where two complete wimps watch two horror movies a week and talk about how much they ruin their pants.
It's like the sixth time I've watched this first movie.
Yeah.
And it still canes me.
So, first film, our classic slash big budget, is kind of a bit of both, which is 2010's Insidious.
Yeah.
Modern day classic.
Easily. Last 12 years still canes me.
Yeah.
Like, there are, I imagine, a few horrors around this point where it's already dated.
Yeah.
I imagine.
I think it is.
Yeah. This one just hasn't. I think maybe because it's got quite an old, gothic-y type feel to it.
Yeah, it feels a little bit, not older, but it feels a bit more kind of classical.
Yeah, you can feel the classics, like Bram Stoker shit.
Yeah.
Dracula.
Yeah, Dracula. Not so much the Bram Stoker, but the like the old school one.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, not Bram Stoker's Dracula, which is the Gary Oldman one, which is
so
hideous,
so camp.
So
it's the Rocky Horror Dracula show.
It is just mad. It's just yeah.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Icky.
I don't think it's on our list at the minute. Probably keep it off
that way.
Because I can't spend half an hour talking about how much I don't like it.
No, sir. But like, it's got like what I imagine Vincent Price was going for.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
never achieved.
I know what you mean, yeah. I love and also dislike James Wan a lot, and I find it that way a lot of the time. He can make some of the most terrifying shit imaginable, like shots and scenes and stuff that are horrible.
I'd say he's the
best.
But
he can also ruin it completely.
I'd say he's the best at horror sequences.
Yeah.
Like, as a scene that's meant to be full of jump scares and tension, I don't think anyone else does it better.
I think what he struggles with, or at least what annoys me, is horror endings.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because I would say plot, but it's not always a plot.
No.
It's the resolution
it's
of the story.
Solution of the problem.
Yeah.
It's never.
And it's always just really disappointing. I find
really
that with.
Easy.
I think that with Conjuring. Uh-huh. I think that with Insidious. I'm fairly sure I think about it a lot with James Wan films where I'm just like, oh, you get to the last, you get right to the end and then you're just like, oh, I don't know what to do. I know
what you mean about with like the two Conjurings, because they end, like for me, the solution is just a bit too easy. You say their name.
Yeah. And also, I don't know, it just comes across a bit like he's trying to crescendo.
Yeah.
And he's trying so hard to that it just looks a bit hammy.
But he does the crescendo only with the elements in the scene, like the music and the special effects and the tension, like that all gets ramped up to like
The storyline
over the line.
Yeah.
And then the actual
sort of peters out.
The MacGuffin of the plot is just nothing.
Yeah, like the ending of the plot is a bit of it just sort of like filters out. It's just sort of it just sort of fades away.
Yeah.
But the shots in it I find to be really hammy. So it really overdoes it on the shots and underdoes it on the plot.
Yeah, yeah.
Just for the ending. I should say just for the ending, because I did enjoy a lot about the Conjuring's plot. I did enjoy a fair bit about the Insidious plot and the sort of resolution plot-wise of that I thought was pretty good.
I was going to say, so we'll get to it, obviously, but the resolution of the plot in this
I think
first
it's good.
One
yeah.
is...
It's good. He just ruins it with the visuals, I feel. Well, I'm getting too far ahead of myself.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to
so,
it.
There's a lot of promise in this film. It starts in a pretty creepy way with the old lady face with the candle.
What, just the credits alone? Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. The title music.
Yeah.
I think it's 37 violins at one time that to create that fucking horror, which is that just, it's not even a theme song, it's just one big fucking horrible note.
It's just it's just a noise.
Yeah.
It's a theme noise.
Red-faced man, also the composer of the film.
Okay.
Crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't dislike his acting, but he's not really acting in any of it.
Not really, he just does a few growls.
Yeah, and he just sort of looks around looking all fucking embarrassed. I think the key thing from James Wan, like the key lesson he wants to teach us throughout his many films, is don't move house ever. Never bother moving house.
Yeah.
Don't move house.
Waste of paperwork.
It will always end It's a really shit way.
It's haunted.
Yeah. Yeah. It's don't move you. House. Yeah. You know the house you're in. Stay in that house.
Yeah, you might as well. Might as well. I mean, I get it that that is the first thought in this one. Because, yeah, it seems like they're being haunted by something that lives in the house. For yeah. sure. But yeah. We're lucky because we've seen enough of these now. If this happens, we know not to bother.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm never moving house ever. I like the touch early on that the dad doesn't have any pictures from when he was a kid.
Yeah, to set that detail up.
Really just nice. Set the detail up like mega early mm-hmm. and then didn't really bring it back again until right at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And just to drop that little crumb in there and go, whoop, he's got no yeah. pictures.
Yeah.
And you just sort of... I don't know if I would have picked it up on the first time I've watched it, because this wasn't the first time I've watched this, but I imagine I would have picked it up. I imagine I wouldn't have picked up the yeah. fact that they just dropped that little detail in there and to think, that's a bit creepy.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I don't know if I would have done the first time, but I certainly did this time.
I think with that scene is just a good idea to have at the beginning where... comes down, and obviously you can be peeling through photo albums,
yeah.
Because you've just moved house, and it's just a good little detail to drop, and they've just set it up in that scenario really well, I think.
Yeah, I think the crackling noises in the attic were pretty creepy.
Crackling, it was the little boiler thing.
Yeah. And what's his name? The boy, Dalton.
Dalton,
yeah, going up into the attic to have a look, and then the fact that you can't see anything, but Dalton appears to be able to see something. Wan, classic.
He does that really well. It's a slow zoom and the strings going up.
Yeah,
and
it's a slow zoom into the darkness.
Well, with their face, where you just horrified.
Yeah, and all the shots of the darkness is you can't see anything, yeah. So it just makes you look that little bit closer.
Yeah.
And then you're even at even more risk, because if it suddenly jumps out at you and you're like really trying to look, that would be the worst.
Apparently, he was coming up with The Conjuring while making this.
Okay,
like, as a.
Yeah, so
it
took a
idea. So you can see some crossover.
Yeah, you can see some crossover, definitely, yeah. With that sort of shot. It's one of his favourites, is kid looking into a dark space and yeah. seeing something you can't.
And I can tell why people get, like, I have before, and I know other people have gotten these two confused, Insidious and Conjuring, like certain scenes in.
Yeah, certain scenes, yeah. I suppose they're scene-wise and jump scare-wise.
It's 3 years apart.
Reasonably interchangeable. Yeah,
and he's thinking about Conjuring while he's making this. So
it
yeah,
makes sense.
But when you're watching each one, you get they have completely different vibes. Like this, this vibe is just like a fucking ghost train at the beginning.
Yeah,
like but ramped up, like to be genuinely terrifying.
Yeah. The first pretty horrid scare is the baby monitor,
and every time it gives me,
yeah, every time
chills.
Yeah, I didn't like that bit. Although it didn't, yeah. It didn't make me jump at all, because I've seen it before, I guess. But I think I probably did the first time I watched it, and it is still a creepy thing. I want
the idea of it.
I want it.
Yeah.
No.
The bit that gets me is the cuts between her looking at the baby monitor and that, and in the sound of those shots, you can only hear it through the baby monitor. And then as it creeps up to the landing, the camera,
you can hear it upstairs.
You can hear it mixed in, and it keeps cutting back and forth, so you really get a sense of the depth of this fucking thing, what it would sound like in the house.
Yeah,
like it's really horrible.
It's really quite horrible, and the jump, the scare is pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good, like, you don't get a lot of just audio scares, do you?
Yeah,
in horror films.
So the bit that we didn't mention is obviously Dalton, when he's looking into the darkness, then falls out of the attic mm-hmm. and puts himself into a coma.
No, he wakes up from that, and then I think his dad can't wake him up in the morning.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. But that's right, yeah.
But yeah, when he does eventually go into the coma, it's... should we be explaining the plot as we go, or are we assuming people have watched this?
I mean, I tend to anyway, but just as we go, but...
Yeah, oh, okay.
I mean, by all means, it doesn't matter.
Well, it's just, yeah, he falls into a coma, and the doctors cannot explain it.
Yeah.
Which is a bad sign straight away.
Obviously. Yeah. Oh, it's a coma we've never heard of. Well,
yeah.
that's not great.
Well, that's horrendous.
Yeah,
but
cool.
He's still alive.
So he's definitely not going to be alive for long, though.
That's what that sounds like.
Yeah, the so you're right. He, the dad, Patrick Wilson, or Josh, sorry. I think he's Josh in this, isn't he? And he goes to sort of shake Dalton in the morning. He's like, well, and Dalton won't wake up. And then obviously they're in the in the hospital. And then they sort of go home with him. And it, I think he's been in the hospital for like 3 or 4 months or something.
Something like that. And then he gets brought home and she's been taught how to...
put another catheter in him.
Change that and change needles for the IV. But
I mean, the catheter one is a horrible thing to have to do to one of your family members.
Absolutely.
Oh, this is where you put the lube on the catheter, so you insert it up his penis.
Especially if it's a...
his child penis.
Yeah, that's the worst part. I mean, you do what you can.
Oh God, it gets right through.
Every little helps. The bit that gets me, where he's at home before they invite any sort of paranormal investigator, is when, first of all, I feel awful for the little brother.
Yeah.
He doesn't even want to share an award.
Yeah, and also this...
the scene where he says...
Yeah.
Well, it's the same scene.
I'd noted this down. Yeah. So I've gone.
I don't like when he's walking about at night.
Yeah. That is horrible.
Horrible.
I wrote that down and I just went, that is a rank idea.
Yeah.
Made me go really cold.
To not show that.
Yeah, it didn't show it.
He could have, and it would have been horrible.
Yeah, he could have done. But I think that would have been less horrible than the brother just complaining.
Just saying it. Yeah,
he's
fucking good.
Oh, I don't... Yeah, I love Dalton. I don't like it when he walks around at night. That's rank.
Yeah. That's worse than any scene anyone could have filmed.
Yeah, exactly. That's worse than any visual, because the visual itself, if it was a visual and him saying that,
it doesn't hit. Yeah.
And seeing it, I would have been mildly interested, but I don't think I would have been really freaked out by it.
Not as much.
The brother saying it, great stuff.
Exactly. And then it's the long... I don't know what he's using, a weird fucking lens on these shots.
Yeah.
But it's those shots where it's slowly zooming towards and out between the brothers... down a hallway, and it's like that alone. I was just like, fucking it, because it kept zooming closer in on Dalton.
Yeah,
and I was like, are his eyes open?
I couldn't
tell. It looked like he could have been staring straight at him.
In which case, rough.
Rough as fuck. Yeah, that was just an entirely horrible scene. Even him closing the door on Dalton is like, just even that. I don't know if it's the sound or something, it's just all horrible.
Well, I noted as well the front door. Is fucking massive. What does he do for a living? He seems to be a teacher.
He's a teacher, yeah.
How do they afford this massive house?
And she does songs.
She's just banging out. Yeah, but she seems to have just started doing that.
Yeah.
Like, she's left whatever job she had to do.
They've moved.
That, and they appear to be, like, in a massive house with this huge fucking door. I'm like, what do teachers make?
I know that. It's
a fucking mansion.
The night of the first big load of hauntings, which I think is this night. But when he does eventually go down to see the door, it's like half the house is fucking missing with that thing wide open. It's ridiculous.
It's that where it's a camera, the camera, and when Josh is looking around.
Yes, I mean, I can't remember which bit's first. Yeah. I think it might be the pacing on the balcony scene first, before... The scene where she just sees his face in the window?
Yes, it is.
Which is when they have an argument about him not being there.
No. The face in the window is first.
Oh, it is? Okay.
The face in the window is first, because then when he's walking about on the balcony, he's suddenly inside.
Yeah. But he's walking about on the balcony and she's on her own because they've had an argument about him. I think that's a bit later on in the film.
Oh, right. He doesn't sort of come in the room or interact with her in any way.
No.
Right, yeah, that might be first. You're right.
Both scenes horrendous.
Yeah, both scenes are horrendous.
The face is absolutely minging, because it's mixed with those low, like someone's just punched a low end of a piano.
Yeah.
Dong. But it's, perfect. Perfect music.
So the face in the baby's room is pretty horrible.
Yeah.
Really subtle, definitely horrible. When Josh is sort of looking around and things like that. Mm. So I think it's then where he's got the... is it the alarm going off and he's walking around the house?
Yeah.
When the camera's following him, it keeps ducking behind doors.
Oh, like it's something following
him? Yeah, like it's following him.
Yeah, that's horrendous.
Yeah, it's just the cameraman doing it, and he's sort of looking at him, and then he just sort of does a little...
That's ingenious.
..lunge into the doorway so it's almost like, oh, I don't want him to see me.
Wow.
That is... Yeah, I noticed that. So I was like, oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. Anything James Wan can do to fuck me off.
Yeah, the door being wide open as well with the chain broken.
Yeah.
That's not nice. But neither is the super wide shot of the dark downstairs with Josh alone in the living room.
Yeah.
It's just toying with him. And yeah, toying with me.
And yeah, toying with my fucking bladder. this is also after, because this is the night of when she shows him the fucking handprint.
Yes. It's the night of the handprint near Dalton's leg. Under his comatose leg.
Fucking wrongin'.
Really horrid. The bit where he's out on the balcony.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, no, sorry, that is next. Later.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because it's the bit Renee wakes up at like 2 a.m. and somebody's walking around outside. Yeah. It's horrible, but I feel like they did it one too many times. Because that was like the third time he had appeared, and he just sort of, I don't know.
That character appeared.
Yeah.
I think the idea is horrible. And it's just an odd fucking idea to have come up with.
Yeah.
The pacing, and then he's suddenly in the room.
Yeah.
And then just...
That one was horrible, and so was the face. So, then you've got, the guys inside the room with Renee, and I did fucking shit myself. I grabbed my thigh really hard when he's sort of pacing, and then is suddenly in the room.
Yeah.
And he just goes for it. I went, oh, my fucking God.
It's also, he screeches, like, rah!
Yeah.
It's like one of those Babadook things.
Yeah, a bit, yeah. I left a mark on my thumb where I grabbed it so hard. I thought the pace of the first sort of 45 minutes is relentless.
He's good at that.
Like, yeah, true Wan style.
Yeah, like it's just beat after beat after beat, and sometimes they are just light visual ones.
Yeah.
But like when it's after these moments where they're like, right, we're moving again.
Yeah. We're
moving again. And there's the tiptoe through the tulip scene, which is now quite famous. The little kid ghost.
Yeah, so yeah, the camera following her in the other house, and then it's pretty horrible as well.
This
and
is
then
a the big one.
And then suddenly the music changes.
Yeah.
Tiptoe through the tulips.
It's absolutely horrendous. I've never heard a worse song than that.
Creepier song.
Obviously, it's got context now. Like, it's just associated with horror now. But it's, that isn't a big scene. It's not a big scare, but still gets me.
Yeah, the feet poking out in Dalton's room.
Yeah, and he's actually in the upper fucking compartment.
Yeah, and then he jumps out. That gave me foot cramp.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, then.
Fuck that little kid, he's good.
That little kid is fucking good. The visitor in Josh's mum's dream, so the grandma.
I asked him who he was.
Yeah, he said he was a visitor.
And I
That's asked, rough.
That's rough. And it's even worse when...
Yeah, so I asked him what it wants, and it's sort of, it's just the silhouette, isn't it?
Points to him and says, Dalton.
All you can see is it looks like he's painted on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's just really flat up against the wall. And all you can see is the silhouette, and he just sort of points to him. That's rough. And when it shows the visitor up until towards the end, it shows so little of him.
Yes.
That it's great.
Glances.
Yeah. Really, really good.
Like the shot after she tells the story.
Yeah.
Of him just behind Wilson's head.
Yeah. That's horrible.
It's such an iconic image though, but like even when it showed Patrick Wilson in this scene, it shows you the shot of him and it keeps flitting back to it, and I'm like, I know that exact shot, I know what's about to happen. Like, it's just framed in such a strange way
that then, like, or when he's behind him or over his shoulder, him and Patrick Wilson just fill up the shot.
It's horrible. There's a lot of empty space behind him, like even depth wise,
just waiting.
And what's horrible about that scene where she's telling that story is knowing now that it wants Dalton, but having no idea why. Because Elise? What's her name?
What's that, the grandma?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you mean...
not the grandma.
Yeah, I want to say Elise.
Elise. Until she turns up.
Yeah, it's Elise, yeah.
You have no context as to why or anything. She gives a nice succinct...
yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
But with the fucking big tagline, it's not the house that's haunted.
Yeah.
It's your son.
It's your son.
It's the way she says it, is just with a bit of grimness.
I mean, fucking Lin Shaye, man.
It's Lin Shaye.
Lin Shaye.
She smashes this
I one. Mean, cast-wise,
brilliant.
Patrick Wilson,
yeah.
Practically horror royalty at this point.
Yeah.
He's in so many horror films.
Yeah.
He's in a lot of films generally, but he's in some of the best horror films and all basic, like half of James Wan's ones.
Yeah.
Wan's ones. And
Rose Byrne,
who's great.
Brilliant in this.
And Lin Shaye, who is fucking horror royalty.
And I can't remember the grandmother's name, the actress's name. But she is the main character from The Entity.
I mean, it's got horror, some proper...
It's horror A-list.
It really is.
Yeah.
Although, who would be better than Rose Byrne in terms of horror experience?
You can't have Vera again.
Connolly.
Well, Jennifer.
Seen a couple.
Is she?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen any of those. I'll take that.
I'm trying to think who would be a better comedy... Elizabeth Banks, she's in one or two.
What, horrors?
Yeah.
There's a remake she was in. Yeah, I can't remember what it was called.
She's in Sliver.
Sliver? Yeah.
I'm trying to think who, like, in terms of that kind of age group, women who have been in quite a few horrors that would be good for it.
Yeah, I'm unsure, but...
But
I liked Rose Byrne.
Oh yeah, Rose Byrne's like, great in this.
She was.
I'm just saying, like the rest of them, absolute horror A-list.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, she's not that accustomed to it.
But I mean, she was good in it.
Still great.
I thought she was great.
You got to have a certain knack to act that terrorized and not feel ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you do get that with certain ones, like where they really feel like they're absolutely terrified of things. In a vulnerable way, and you don't get many of them, but when you do, you go, oh man, that's great.
Yeah, it makes it so much worse. You feel awful for them while also being terrified yourself.
When the visitor's just behind Josh, I think it's the only time that I am scared of it at all, because otherwise his face is pure ham. The filter thing is horrible when Tucker keeps flicking through. So obviously Lin Shaye or Elise has arrived. And explained. And then there's a filter thing where Tucker keeps flicking through different coloured lights.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the woman's standing
it's
in the
a
toy, hallway.
Isn't it? It's got, but it goes. It's like one of those photograph things where you click and it.
Yeah, it just change. Yeah, changes, yeah. I know the ones you mean. Yeah.
This has got colours. Different light. Wavelengths.
Yeah, it's different wavelengths.
And then it hits upon one, and it's two girls.
I think it's a one woman.
Oh right.
She is fucking scary.
Yeah, it's fucking horrible.
She's just standing in the hallway.
It's similar to the idea that we've talked about before, where it's like camera flashes. It's that same thing where it's silence. It's the noise, and you know after one of these noises, you just know it. Something's coming, but. You just can't prepare
the horrible
for it,
bit. She looks like she's standing there,
yeah.
But you don't know if while he's flicking through those filters, she's moving towards him, and he just catches her, or if she's just standing there.
She's just standing there. That's horrendous as a thought. Thanks for that. Fucking hell.
Soz. I just think the more brief the look you get at things in this film, the better they are.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I think Lin Shaye is. Is probably my horror movie hero. I think The Further is a really good concept. Shit name.
I guess so. It's what she calls it.
I suppose so, but that's what it's referred to in the film generally. And I think it, as a concept, it's quite creepy, but
it's like it Limbo, isn't crap. It?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Sort of an in between. The name they've come up with it, The Further, just sounds a bit gammy.
I mean, it's it is what
I suppose it is. Similar to The Upside Down in Stranger Things.
Yeah, I guess so.
Seems a bit lame.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I mean, she would have named that when she was quite young. I suppose she was. But so this entire sequence is good, though. Like, you, when they first turn up and they have a little look through the house. And so the sketching scene.
Mm.
I have the subtitles on when I watch this.
Yeah.
And just to hear what she's saying, like, black eyes, she's got hooves for feet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
fucking horrible.
It's pretty rank.
And then what you see when the sketch is shown is it just like on the fucking roof like a spider.
Yeah.
Just clinging to the ceiling, just staring down at them. That's what she's looking at. I would have, like, just the thought of it, well, I only saw it illustrated. If she can see that in the dark corner of a ceiling, I would
looking
have just,
down at her.
I would have just, I think I my heart would have just gone, yeah, fuck this. I'd be dead.
Well, I
wouldn't be able to take it.
I certainly think I would have shit myself until I prolapsed.
Yeah. There was so much tension down there.
Yeah, no fucking thank you. I can't even bear to listen to her fucking description of it, let alone look at the thing. At least when she's in the mask, though, I think, looks like she's in a Slipknot video.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's very new metal-y as well.
Very new metal-y.
But just before that scene where she explains a bit further about the further, I don't know if I've caught it wrong, but because I know what's eventually happening in number two, like when I'm watching it this time, Patrick Wilson is very pissed off, like in the background. I know he uses an excuse like, I don't want you, like, getting more worried by hearing all this shit. And that's why he's getting angry. But he looks a bit too angry when she's saying some of it. Like, he's already being influenced by this.
Brian Black, so he really doesn't want you to
like,
see
stop
it.
Stop talking about the further, because you're going to get there and stop my plan. Maybe looking too far into it.
Maybe. I mean, I didn't notice it, but it's quite a good little touch.
But yeah, seance scene is genius, just the way it's constructed. Because you've got one person writing down what she is saying. You've got her tinned, whispery voice coming through. And this is what the fucking details he's getting down. Like, keep your voice down, otherwise they'll come after us.
Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff he's writing down is horrible. Yeah. The ghost being around...
Oh my God, they're coming.
Absolutely horrible. The ghosts around the table, though, look shitter the more they're shown.
Yes,
I really can't stress it enough. It's always better when less is shown. Mm. Please, for the love of fuck, will someone take that on board and go, if I've got a monster, if I've got a ghost, anything like that, the more
could
subtle it is.
Flashing or something, just shown less.
The more subtle it is, or the more or the less you can see of them, the better.
Because you're not going to illustrate it exactly how I find it terrifying.
Yeah.
And if you do less, I'm going to fill the gaps.
Yeah, you're going to fill the gaps, and it's going to be... That's so much worse for me.
Yeah, because I'm doing exactly what I know to be terrifying.
I'm doing your job for you.
Yeah.
go on, you were about to say something. I think the witch looks fucking shit as well. I think...
Witch?
She looks like she's nearly scary. Not the witch, the bride, the old woman.
Oh, no, she canes me. Especially in the photos.
The photos is different. When you see her, just her face and things, I think it looks like it's nearly scary, but it's too hammy.
It's like they've obviously picked that aesthetic just so it fits in with this.
With the gothic-y Vincent Price type thing. But I think, well, I mean, look at House on Haunted Hill, the little fucking old woman face.
With the hands.
That gets me. It's like 60, 70 years old.
Genuinely a bit horrible.
That part is the only bit that makes me jump in the entire thing, but it does. I go, oh, yeah, fucker. So it's just... So I can see the similarity between that and like Vincent Price House on Haunted Hill.
I think the further away she is,
the further away,
yeah,
the more you see of her face, her actual face,
sort of like
it just looks hammy.
Yeah,
And I really hate the Nosferatu hands. But
in the photos where it's like an opaque,
the photos
sort of face,
are genuinely creepy.
The idea of them, every photo that's taken, she's getting closer until her hand is above his shoulder. Don't take any more fucking photos.
Yeah. Yeah, stop taking photos.
I don't know why that works as an idea in the in this other realm. That's fucking weird. Yeah. Why would a photo allow you to get closer each time?
That means you can't see him, otherwise it's too dark.
Maybe. I mean, the other one can get close to Dalton without
any fair point, photo. Yeah.
Well, actually, no. There might be photos being taken. Anyway, yeah, the idea of those is horrendous, just where she's like sat in the back of the fucking car or next to a tree in the background. And they've taught him to suppress his ability to astral project.
Yeah.
Is that what they call? Or astral walk. Yeah, they've had to like fucking give him hypnosis to forget that he can do this just so he stops fucking playing out in that fucking playground.
Yeah.
And attracting demons. Fucking dickhead.
The absolute creepo. The bride walking past him in the veil. So, oh, actually, I'll skip ahead a bit here. I'm like, they do the seance. Dalton sort of shows up to it, and then they go through all the photos. The photos are really creepy.
Yeah, so he's using him as like a fucking walking puppet. He's using Dalton as a walk, and which is ridiculous when you think about it constantly. Yeah. But yeah, the photo that they grab out of the video is mingin. It's really quite mingin.
The photos of the old lady, all the time I was watching her, all I was thinking is, she's got too much shit on her face.
Got too much shit on me.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. It's like, she's got too much shit on her face. And if it wasn't for that,
it's thick.
If it wasn't for that, maybe I'd find her mildly more scary. So then Josh sort of agrees to go into the further to bring Dalton out. Because they now know where he is. The bride in the veil walking past him as he gets into the house made me jump big time.
Yeah. It's also when he gets to the crow again outside the red door. They have a little tussle. That was pretty mingy when he turns up because he just appears out of nowhere. It's not like he jumps out of the shadows. He literally like
is just suddenly there.
What's the opposite of evaporate? I can't remember.
I don't know.
That word.
He appears.
Yes.
Fine.
Science.
Condensates.
Good enough, actually. Don't hate it. That was quite good. And then they obviously go through the red door. Dalton is in some sort of fucking chapel.
Well, sorry, I'm going before that. The 50s family.
Oh, the 50s family and the shotgun murder.
The 50s family. The 50s...
It's the cut to smiling, which is obviously the worst thing.
Yeah. I'm glad the mum only blinked, which is quite understated. Like, he's right up next to her face.
Why would you do that,
and though? You'd have... the whole time I was thinking... Why are you a dickhead?
Yeah. Also, it takes
If I'm in a horror realm, there ain't no way I'm getting right up to someone's face. No. I don't care if they're not moving.
But also, I don't know how long he's in there.
Mm.
Let's say, going by the film, it's like 15 minutes.
Sure.
It takes her like 10 minutes to assure him, by the way, as a living person who has gone to this place, you are way stronger than any of them.
Yeah.
And like... That would give me some real reassurance, some confidence going in there. These things.
Tell me that before I go in.
Not while I'm being fucking attacked.
Yeah.
By the demon man.
Beefy does, before you go in.
You're fine.
You are.
If you.
Double hard. You're basically the Superman of this realm. If you come into. If by, for some reason, somebody attacks you in there, you are so much stronger than them.
Yeah, you can love them.
That it like they're like fucking ants to you.
Yeah,
and I'd go great, cool. Thanks for the detail.
I am not scared.
Thanks. I'm absolutely fine. I will just march along to Dalton.
Yeah.
Instead of
like pushing people, sort out of the way.
Dicking about with 50s people.
Because I waste a lot of time. Terrified because I think these people can just kill me.
Yeah.
Immediately because they're ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would I not think that? If they appeared smiling right in front of me when I knew I could battle, if I already knew I was going to, I could have battered them. Yeah. I'd have stuck one of them through the wall. But instead, you've made me shit myself for no good reason. The smile on the girl's face when she shot them is pretty horrible.
Minging.
And then all of them smiling.
People smiling after doing evil things like that.
Because Josh's reaction is correct when he turns around and they're all in front of him. Mm. It's a cheap scare, but it did work on me.
Yeah, that really got me. Because it's so sudden and so jarring because it's such like sharp edits.
Like, it does feel like a bit of a cheapie, but...
Yeah, but we'll give it to James.
Well, I mean, it always gets me. Trust me, James, you got me.
Yeah,
plenty of
times.
And then we get on to the last 20 minutes, which is the chapel and everything.
Yeah.
This last 20 minutes...
Unfortunately.
...ruins this film for me.
No, it doesn't ruin it for me.
I think when he finds the crow in front of the red door...
Yeah.
He's pure hammy as well.
Yeah, he's not great. He just looks like the thing out of Sinister. But and then, Sinister was after. So.
Yeah, he does look a little bit like that. And the visitor just looks hammy as fuck.
Okay, so he finds Dalton chained up. He's chaining him off. And
it's nice to see that the red-faced dude has set the ambiance nicely with all the candles. Looks like Valentine's came early.
So he's got loads of candles. He's put on that record again, Tiptoe Through the Tulips. But this time you can hear it full fucking band.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was like, this is a bit of a bop full band. It's not bad.
I've heard worse.
But it's the wonky, crazy vaudevillian shots, zoom ins and zoom outs of him sharpening his claws. I was like, am I watching a fucking kids' TV show now?
Honestly.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's such a letdown.
It really is. This is...
But I can still happily...
Like, I love and hate this film. Up until the last 20 minutes, it's a good horror.
Yeah.
It's a very good horror.
But this doesn't...
20 minutes... Those last 20 minutes annoy me so much. It doesn't turn it into a shit film.
No.
But it taints it, that little bit.
It does
bit.
Taint it, because there's the scene... Because
I'm just like, oh, I was really into it up until then. You've just ruined it a little bit.
It's the scene where the thing is crawling along the wall. The CGI is so bad. But once you get past this bit, this little section, you go back to...
I've got so many notes which say all the same things, such as, if they hadn't shown that dumb Darth Maul-looking cunt, I would have been so much happier.
Yeah, no, for sure. I would have been a lot happier, and it would have been a lot more satisfying at the end. But you do get the little chunk at the end about the Bride in Black and how Elise sees... When Josh puts her, like, passes her something, she can see it's the old woman.
The old woman's hand.
So she takes a picture of him.
So the just before that, when they're escaping, you've got all the ghosts around them, all the spirits around them, and they can't seem to get out, and then they manage to follow her voice. And then you've got Specs walking around in the dark, and the hand grabbing him out from the drawer.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
That was good.
Do
you know who Specs is, by the way?
Yeah, he's the co-writer, isn't he?
He's the co-writer. He is the guy from Saw, who also co-wrote Saw, which is one. Yeah. He is the director and writer of The Invisible Man.
Oh, my days.
He wrote and directed the third one of this, and obviously co-wrote the second. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, because...
Lee Whannell, I think, or Whannell.
Writing-wise, this is good.
Invisible Man, though,
is so
fucking underrated.
Invisible Man's incredible, and we are getting to it. That is,
I watched it
list.
The other day. I just couldn't help myself.
It's on the list. It's really good.
Unbelievable.
No, back to this shit.
Yeah.
So that bit's quite horrible, but then the ghost in the doorway, when they're trying to shut the door, looks shit. And the one in the kitchen that Tucker catches with the torch is really good.
Oh, yeah.
That one's really good.
Mm.
The ghost in the doorway when Specs is trying to shut the door looks shite. I'm like, why can't this film just be consistent?
Yeah, I think there's a little mix of overuse of CG in some areas.
Yeah, I think so.
And maybe overdoing some specific scares.
Yeah.
Like, just turns around, they're there.
That's at the point where Darth Maul then comes through the doorway suddenly.
Yeah.
Him coming through the doorway got me.
Yeah.
But
the crawling on
he
the
looks
wall.
So shitty. The crawling along the wall looks crap and is bad CGI.
Looks like claymation.
Yeah, so bad. And they were probably going for that aesthetic because it's a bit vaudevillian. But it's still shit.
But it's inconsistent with how he's moved
previously. Up until that point. So just fucking make a decision. The old woman.
Yeah.
Just looks like she's having a shit, I think, her facial expression.
What, Lin Che?
No, the Bride in Black.
Well, when she's choking her?
I just think when she takes the picture and you can see it, she's like this.
Oh, right,
but
yeah.
But she just looks like she's having a dump.
It's just like...
But like a really hard dump.
Really hard dump. Really jaggedy.
Yeah.
But yeah, like when she's choking her, it's like fucking Jack in the Box style. It's fucking bizarre. But yeah, that whole sequence, as you said, with the hand,
where she realizes with the hand
and takes a photograph. I love that bit.
Yeah, because you don't get that first, do you? You get her taking a picture.
Yeah.
She looks a bit concerned, takes a picture, and then Josh gets really fucking annoyed and strangles her to death.
I told you not to take photographs, stupid bitch.
And then it starts to show you, doesn't it? She notices the old lady hand.
Yeah.
And then. Takes a picture and you can see in the flash it's fucking Nosferatu.
Yeah, and then Rose Byrne comes in, searches for Josh. She sees the camera photo on the camera
and realizes.
And then he taps her on the shoulder and she gasps and it's over.
Yeah.
And I remember in the second one because I watched it straight after. Mm. She's getting interviewed about it. And she's like, "So this is a photograph of a ghost, like this old woman in a black veil." It's like, I don't know how else to explain that, mate. What else would she be doing in my fucking house?
Yeah.
After someone got strangled.
Yeah.
Oh, and in that one, they find the marks on her neck don't coincide with Josh's hands. So it was the woman in black's, bride in black's hands that were on her throat.
Okay.
Crazy.
That is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And just before that, Renee was talking to Dalton and said, "Oh, you're really hungry, aren't you? He's been in a coma for 4 months.
Yeah.
I'd be ravenous, mate."
And he was like, "I'm sleepy too." And I was like, I nearly jumped in the screen, like, "You little shit."
That'd be such a cheeky cunt. Best performance.
Oh, fuck, it's difficult. Because there's not a lot of bad ones.
And there are a lot of them Hollywood A-list.
Yeah. I'd say I gravitate towards Rose Byrne in this one.
Yeah, that's what I've got, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Renee. I think her reactions to things were largely great and really believable. Although, shout out to Dalton for all that coma work. Good work.
Oh, yeah, cheers. Yeah. You actually got a paycheck for that.
Yeah, kid. You little prick.
Little dick.
Shit my pants moment?
Fucking hell.
There are a few to choose from.
Shit my pants moment, the one that got me the most... Do you know what? It's the fucking baby monitor.
Is it?
Yeah. That fucking kills me every time. It's so angry.
That is pretty creepy. I'm going with the filter, Tucker, with the different light filters when he's searching. Mm-hmm. And there's one that was pretty rough.
Absolutely. What's your creepiest shot, though?
I think the 50s family in the further, when Josh finds them. There's quite a few choices, though. I think in terms of shit my pants moments and creepiest shots, like, there's a lot to choose from.
Yeah, I think my one, creepiest shot, the one that had me so unnerved, and maybe I respect it more because it had no payoff, was the shot between the two boys' rooms.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, that is a really creepy shot.
It goes on for ages.
It doesn't let you out of it, does it?
No, like giving it's you a relentless. Scare. It no, just, yeah. It and then just... it just cuts to the next scene and you're like, oh, I still feel it though.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like the sneeze you can't get out.
Yeah.
Right, so score from 1 to Insidious.
Nice.
I don't feel good about that one.
No, I wouldn't. do you know what? I'm really struggling between, I reckon, an 8.5.
Okay.
Because I'm not like punishing it for letting me down. No, it's a 9. No. It's an 8.5.
All right.
What's yours?
7.5.
Oh, okay.
It could be much higher, but they just fucked it by shoving too much.
I understand
and
that.
It just taints it for me.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
What they showed too much, and what they did show was crappy. Mm-hmm. And I don't like his obsession with Nosferatu hands. And
he has got a real fascination with that old 30s, 40s horror.
Yeah.
20s.
To be fair, a lot of the stuff he does with it is really good. Mm-hmm. I just think if you could show less, it would make it so much scarier for me. I would say about Sinister, I'd say about this, I'd say about partly about The Conjuring, not entirely. Conjuring 2, yeah, a little bit as well.
They're pretty good at it, usually.
Yeah, I mean, the Conjuring 2 only get at the very end.
Wilkins
of
and the Nun, yeah.
But not, you know, overall, they show still a lot enough. Less.
Yeah.
Which
but it was enough to ruin it for you a little bit.
Yeah, this does.
The Nun at the end of 2.
Oh, no. I don't think it ruins Conjuring 2 for me, but it does ruin this for me a bit because they did that. He does it too many times in this.
Yeah.
Conjuring 2, he does it once. And yeah. I can live with it. But Insidious, it just too many times, and it just taints it that little bit for me. Right, so our second film this week, our lesser known / foreign language, which this week is just lesser known, is 2021, I think, Shudder original.
I believe so.
The Boy Behind the Door.
Directed by two guys, apparently lifelong friends, like
cool.
The characters, David Charbonnier.
Yeah, the Charbonnier, yeah.
And Justin Powell.
Okay.
Have you seen the ratings on this?
No.
I mean, like, Insidious, it's what you would expect from most people, 66, 62.
Sure.
This is 97, 67.
Wow.
No offence to them, wasn't that good.
I liked
the film. I enjoyed it.
I wouldn't say I 97% liked it.
Fuck no. That's like Godfather 2 fucking ratings.
Probably mid-80s. I like the film.
Oh, no, mine's less than that. But
I mean, I liked it. Yeah. Pretty intense start. Letterboxd
3.0.
It's about normal for them.
Yeah.
Miserable pricks.
Yeah, very fucking rapid start on this.
Yeah, intense. Like a Zodiac thing with the old car.
Yeah. The first thing is screaming from the boot of a car. I think that's the very opening, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then you see just some kid crying in it, and then cuts back to a few hours earlier.
Yeah, where they're playing catch before they go off to a baseball game. I think they're playing in.
Yeah, they're
what, 10, 11 years old.
They are,
like,
and I love the wholesomeness of the friendship between them two.
Yeah, really nice. Yeah.
But kids do not talk like that.
No, that's a fair point. I think kids who are 10 or 11 probably don't quite have Bobby's
just the emotional range that these kids have.
Yeah, the emotional range and
maturity.
And Bobby's emotional maturity to be able to push past some of the stuff that's being done to him and I mean, yeah, that's a fair point. So
they've written adults and cast children, I think.
Yeah, probably a bit. I've got another horror trope. Kids' toy rolling off where it shouldn't and creepy shit happens.
Yeah, always. Yeah, that was quite creepy.
This one I thought was... So that rolled off to the bushes.
Yeah.
Similar to, like, Georgie and his ship.
And his little ship.
Paper boat. Stuff like that. It's a horror trope at this point, or at least a modern
horror trope. Yeah, because then you never see him again.
Yeah, I mean, that one's pretty good because you just literally you didn't see Kevin again. I mean, you did later on, but you didn't see him afterwards.
And, like, you just felt something was coming as well when it's...
And Bobby gets nailed into a tree.
Yeah, just shoulders get grabbed into a tree, lights out, in the boot.
The kid screams in the boot. Oh, horrendous.
The kid, as a horror reactionaryist, that's definitely
what,
a word.
Bobby or Kevin?
Bobby. Unfucking believable.
Yeah.
Like, the way he's crying at certain things.
Yeah.
I was just like, I couldn't pull that off.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God,
29.
Kid. I was like, oh my God, kid, how are you so good?
Yeah, how can you just pull off crying to that, like, to that in kind of intensity?
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, this kid's screams are horrendous, and this film is dark as fuck from the outset.
I mean, the idea is
so
dark. Yeah.
From the outset.
Yeah.
It's immediately dark and does not let up.
Immediately kidnapping, and then while they're in the house, you find out that guy has got a stopwatch on, which means
he's only allowed
a
certain
allotted
time.
Yeah.
He's rented that time.
Yes.
So probably should explain slightly the plot if you haven't watched it already. So Bobby and Kevin are playing a bit of catch. The ball rolls off. And then immediately they're both basically kidnapped within about 40 seconds of each other and taken off to a...
Prolific, this guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Me.
sort of isolated house out in the middle of nowhere. Where Kevin is taken out of the boot of the car and Bobby is still locked in the boot of the car. And Kevin is, the car's then in the garage and Kevin's upstairs and seems to have been rented by a man.
Yes.
Because he has, as you said, he had a stopwatch watch on.
Yeah,
which showed an amount of time. That he was allowed to be in there with the kid. The stuff he's doing, though, is creepily tame. He just keeps telling him, it's all okay. I'm your friend. You know, give me a hug.
Well, yeah, but it does get interrupted, so who knows where it's going.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
It gets interrupted by...
is that... Even that's creepy, though, that he is sort of...
Using some of his time to
try to...
Reassure this
kid. Yeah.
Be a good guy to him.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculously mean.
Everything about it is horrible.
Interrupted by, I think, Bobby hitting some sort of orb, glass ball.
Yeah, when he's trying to move the bookcase. So yeah. Bobby manages to escape the car and he's then inside the house trying to get Kevin back. And I was...
Because he's running away and then he's hearing the screams from inside.
Yeah, like, shit, I've got to go back.
I remember just going, yeah, you got to, dude.
Yeah.
You ain't going to be able to live with that.
Yeah. even I, who normally think I would be very selfish in this scenario,
you wouldn't be able to.
Got to go back in.
Got to.
It sucks, but you do. 15 minutes in and I thought it was tense as all hell. This film is very tense.
It is, although, to a certain point. Some of the scenes where it's like trying to keep tension, where he's like looking through doors in the dark, it just goes on far too fucking long. Let's get on with this now.
I didn't understand how he was so quiet when he was moving a massive fucking bookcase.
I know, right? You know, fucking rollers on it or something?
Yeah. He was silent as anything.
But yeah,
everything else. Sorry, what is it, on silk?
But closing a door very slowly is... fucking
yeah
at 11 for some reason.
The only time that I jumped out of my skin fully was when Bobby the guy leaves the room and the creepy guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think his name, looking at the credits, was Creep.
Yes, yeah. I didn't notice
just
that.
creepy dude. Creepy dude,
pedophile one.
When Bobby is talking to Kevin through the door and then looks right and the guy's just standing there.
Oh, yeah.
I shit myself then.
Yeah, that was good.
You fuck!
That was a nice reveal.
Really good. The guy's voice, though, the creep's voice, is rank. It's really gentle.
Way too gentle, yeah. I didn't notice that.
It's horrible.
Like, it's just like sitting on your skin. It's fucking...
Oh, God, I've never thought a voice would sit on your skin. But yeah. That is horrible.
Yeah, it just doesn't go through.
It doesn't cut through you at all.
No. This for me, these sequences here were... There's also... it doesn't get... let me start that again. The scenes here kind of... don't work for me just because the tension just goes on for a bit too long and I ended up just being impatient.
I didn't get that, but that's interesting.
Yeah, I liked how, they had a good enough actor for the scene where he accidentally stabs the... which is what he should have fucking done in the first place.
Yeah, because he hits him with a bat and then runs off.
Yeah, and the whole time I'm like, I get that you're young.
Yeah,
you need to kill this man.
Everybody should know in this situation...
he's a dead guy.
You need to be hammering at the guy's head with that bat.
Yeah. For considering what he was trying to do, he needs to die.
You're fine doing that. As a horror character, please, for fuck's sake, do it. I really hate when people walk away from... somebody's attacking
me. Don't do it.
I'm going to hit him once and then walk off.
Don't do the double tap. Yeah. And sorry, but cleaning a crime scene to that degree, that well, fuck off in that amount of time. The kitchen floor was spotless.
I didn't even notice.
Like, the guy has to... because he's trying to clear it away before this guy comes in, and he's using fucking kitchen towels.
Pretty amazing, actually.
And just absolutely spotless. There's one little drop of blood on the corner that the guy doesn't notice, but the smear is completely gone. Ridiculous. but that's where it kind of... I can't remember what he does with this second guy. Does that go fuck off? Or does he kill him too?
So, Bobby stabs the first guy.
Yeah.
It's Kevin says, what about the other one?
Right.
And I at that point, I'd completely forgotten there were two.
The guy that drove off, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's not a guy.
Oh, yeah, that was the woman.
That was the woman, yeah.
Right, yeah.
So, the... it was only then that I really noticed the countdown mm-hmm. and how much time he's got to spend with the kid, because that's horrible.
Because I hadn't really clicked what was going on until that moment.
Yeah, and then I was like,
that's gross.
Oh, no, he's a rental kid. That's really rank.
Really dark.
Bobby sucks at driving as well.
The worst.
And
immediately fucks it up.
Yeah, immediately fucks up.
Rolls it down.
And then has to give up on that one.
He just goes, right, next plan.
All right, I'll move on to the next bit.
Goes up to Kevin and is like, was there a plan B that you had? Or
driving, it turns out, is not something I have in my wheelhouse. No. So Kevin breaking his fingernail.
Disgusting.
Horrible. Made me wince when he pulled it off.
Because he was picking it.
Oh.
A bit of metal.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, shattered it.
Yeah. Absolutely horrible. Yeah. Made my skin crawl. The woman comes home.
She's walking about and he's like under the bed with a knife. I was just looking at her Achilles heels glistening and I was like, fucking take them out, buddy.
Yeah.
I saw Hostel. Take them out.
Yeah, that shit works.
Yeah, she's fucked. She ain't getting out of that one.
Yeah, she's not going anywhere.
Can't put a fucking bit of Sudocrem on those.
That makes me feel so fucking horrible.
Pint of salt on each one.
Just the Achilles.
Yeah, it's the worst.
The tension when he's running around the house trying to find a way to get Kevin out is pretty excruciating.
Yeah, it is.
But
The whole cat and mouse between them two is very good. But did you notice the heavily, like offensively heavily, Shining references?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Fuck knows why Bobby would stick his face through that hole.
No, idiot.
You're an absolute moron.
But like down to like the exact shot of Shelley Duvall in The Shining when he's in the thing. No, just by the door while the axe is coming through. And then when the hand comes in, cuts it. It's all Shining.
Yeah.
And then when she does the other door, they do the shot where it goes with her, like the torque of her axe. Like she pulls it back and then it shunts towards her as she hits the door. Like that over and over again is The Shining. It's just straight out of it. It's mad.
Yeah.
It's just...
it's heavily
referenced. No mercy. fuck you, Kubrick.
I think the woman kidnapper is much more creepy because she seems normal, and I think women kidnappers are probably less. I think there's probably
at face less value, of them. It seems less. Like, that's the reason when the police come to the door, she can sort of.
Yeah. Exactly.
She can get rid of them a bit easier.
Because she just seems kind of normal.
Yeah. You just expect it to be a dude, and it's usually the case, so
yeah.
It's fair.
I could see the cop getting killed coming. I could see that coming.
Yeah.
He was asking for it by not looking around when Bobby came out.
I know, right? Yeah, he was a fucking idiot. But he was suspicious straight away and wasn't letting up, which I did appreciate.
Yeah. Although, obviously, he gets pure killed.
Yeah.
Her walking around the house slowly and calmly,
mm-hmm.
like going after Bobby, like in that cat and mouse thing.
Just creepy. A bit of Shining, obviously. Just
It's a bit of Shining. Calmly. I mean, I suppose it's a bit of every slasher film.
Well, calmly following a kid in the dark with an axe.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah. When Bobby finds Kevin's shirt ripped on the bed with a camera pointed at it, when he finds him, that is fucking dark.
Yeah, that is horrendous. It's just slowly showing how evil these people are. And you just end up...
horrible.
Obviously, you're rooting for the kids the entire time, but you're like...
These people to be gone.
Want them dead.
Yeah. Oh, God, so horrible. I thought the thing around Kevin's neck to keep him in there was a good touch.
Yeah, that was a good touch, but I was
very ahead of the game.
Just rip it off the wall. Knock it off the wall. Yeah. Then you're good.
Point it away.
Yeah, you don't have to get that off his neck. Rip that fucking thing off the wall and then you're home free.
Yeah, it only works when that thing is passing through.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing that's on the wall, and they had
something. They had like a weapon at that point, didn't they?
Yeah, just smash it.
Yeah, smash it up.
Just kick it. I don't care. Smash it up. At one point, she sort of catches up to Bobby and shoots him in the leg after he fucks her up a bit, doesn't he? And then ties him up, and then she shoots him in the leg, and then sticks her thumb in his wound.
Yes.
And
yes.
I was like, Jesus Christ, John Wick. Down to the knuckle. He was battering her.
Yeah.
Like, he was like John Wick battering her. Yeah. And then has the forward thinking to go, oh, her thumb's in my wound. That means it can get chopped off.
Yeah.
Fucking and chopped psycho. Off with a pair of secateurs. What the fuck?
No, this kid is ruthless and I love it.
He's absolute John Wickens.
Yeah, it, in terms of a survivalist, fuck me.
Oh, it's great.
But the actor was also, I really enjoyed his performance.
I think there's a bit too much plot armour, but like where he's managing to get out of situations where an 11-year-old really shouldn't.
Right, yeah.
But
yeah.
I think the actor is so good that I can forgive quite a lot on that front.
Yeah, because I
don't really think about it. I just think about how good he is.
His way out of this fucking
yeah,
place.
Exactly. He's like the kid John McClane, if that wasn't Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, interesting.
It's just Die Hard for kids, isn't it? Yeah. The boys finding the car and then hiding inside is really tense. So the police car.
Yeah.
He was waiting for her to find him.
So I assumed they had the keys at this point for some reason. And obviously when she comes up, can't get in because it's like bulletproof glass. And then she just like smiles.
My arsehole went so tight when she brought up the car keys.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, they're fucked.
She is so creepy.
She was good. She was good. And she drags one of them out and knocks the other one.
Yeah, and Kevin batters her and goes, how does it feel?
Yeah. What a line.
How does it feel? Really good.
You're 11, kid.
I know.
What are you watching?
Although I could see that in an 11-year-old. Like, how does it feel? I could see one seeing that after saying that after smashing her. The suspense in this was so much worse than I've seen in a lot of slasher films because they don't normally work on me. I just thought the suspense in this, where there's this little cat and mouse bits where she's following them through the woods and everything, really good.
I didn't love the ending. Yeah,
I didn't. I think the cops arriving and killing her just as she was about to batter him with an axe is a bit on the nose.
It's just lazy, just with the axe.
Yeah.
It's apex above her head, about to come down, about to be the end of it, and then you hear gunshots. And literally, as when she did that, I just went,
pew, yeah,
and knew it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm sure 1,000 other people did too.
Yeah, I just thought I would love to see someone, like, if the killer's going to die, I'd love to see them die at an unexpected time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're following them through the woods, and all of a sudden, the fucking, the killer's nowhere near the people, his victims,
and then gets killed. I'd also like to see the fucking main victims of this piece be the ones to do it.
Yeah.
It's more,
it feels a bit more liberating.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought that was a bit lazy. That was the part that I didn't like.
Bit of a letdown, but I would say a lot of the tension in this was really did get me. Like there are up until points when he's around the house, like I was very concerned. Don't get me wrong, but it just went on a little too long.
Well, all right, fair enough.
In my eyes, anyway. And then there was the fight scenes between him and the woman. Like those were incredible. Just because you were so desperate for this kid to win. Yeah.
And it is so desperate throughout most of the film.
And it adds to
it. It feels so dark.
It didn't even need to be that either. Like, they didn't need that element to it. They could have just been kidnapping and blah, blah, blah. But I guess it's probably more realistic that people, if they go to these lengths, it's probably for something very fucking sinister.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I suppose so.
But, yeah, so that didn't need to be part of it, but the fact that it was just made it just so more butt-clenching.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. Best performance?
Bobby.
Yeah, I found it.
Between Bobby and the woman.
Yeah, but yeah. A really hard choice between Body Eater and Woman. She's fucking terrifying.
She's just more impressive, the fact that how young that kid is.
Yeah, I think generally when it's between two people and one of them's a kid, I always go with the kid because it's just impressive.
Just impressive. I would say like the dialogue scenes between him and Kevin wasn't that impressive. But his reactions
his reaction shots, yeah, great.
Big emotions were amazing.
Shit my pants moment?
It's probably the one we were talking about earlier where you suddenly
suddenly see the guy.
Yeah, that's the only one that really caught
me. It's the only one that made me jump.
Because creepiest shot-wise, there's not a lot of... I don't think they ever went for a creepy shot.
No, not really.
There was...
I mean, I just went with the one where the woman comes back to the police car and shows him the keys.
Yeah, that is fucking horrible.
I don't know if it's a creepy
I'm
shot.
I'm going to go with that too.
But it is horrible.
It is, just because it's...
Oh, my stomach sank.
I just her smiling. No. It's horrendous. Yeah, I'm going for that.
Score from 1 to Amber Heard in a bed.
Amber Heard.
It's very topical and won't be able to use that one again.
No, that'll age in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, four.
All right. I went six.
Okay.
But it,
you thought Insidious was only 1.5 better, more scary than that.
Insidious is just ten. It's just really good, but tainted.
Yeah,
it's. I think I've taken it more to heart. It's just really annoyed me because I thought the film had so much promise and it's so close to being brilliant.
It is annoying.
And then they just go. It's almost like somebody bringing out this incredible cake that they've made and it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And then just they're about to give it to you, they just sort of drop it on the floor. Accidentally, I'm like, oh, it's such a shame because it was brilliant. And now it's not.
I would say for me, it is like someone serves me a cake. I've had a lot of it. I've had like 80, 85% of the cake. Mm. And then someone takes a shit on the rest. Or takes a piss or shits on it. Like I get my fill out of Insidious.
Yeah, that's like, fair.
I wanted the rest.
Yeah, I guess that's fair, yeah. But I love this film. I thought it was really good. I like the tension. Incredibly dark,
mm-hmm.
horrendous notes to it.
Yeah,
and
details that didn't necessarily need to be there. But yeah, I'd say like as a film for me, it's like a six.
Enjoyed it a little bit more than that, but you know, I liked it.
I didn't expect it to be that good, but I expected it to be paranormal based on the poster.
Yeah, it's very different to what I thought it was actually going to be.
But yeah, it wasn't an unwelcome.
No, not at all. No. That's this week's. Next week we have. I'm not really sure how next week's going to go. In all honesty, we have 1972's Last House on the Left, Wes Craven's first film.
Yeah.
So the original Last House on the Left.
I don't love it.
We'll go on to that. That's our classic / big budget. It's definitely more in the classic than big budget because I think it cost $90,000 to make or something.
Like it was 9 pence.
And for lesser known from the USA, we're getting a bit too hugging on to them a bit too much. 2 weeks in a row is Ready or Not.
Which, have you seen that one yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's more of a light-hearted horror.
Okay.
You say. But we'll see how that goes. I remember like walking away from it last time, like. Yeah.
So what we should say is, in 2 weeks' time, we have just one film, in our classic / big budget, which is The Exorcist.
How are you feeling about this?
Not great. So to give a bit of background. We watched this as kids, far too young.
I was 7, you were 12.
Was I 12? I thought you were 6 and I was 11. Somewhere around that.
That's so much worse.
Neither are great.
No.
So we watched this as kids with our nan who didn't realise what it was.
We rented out from the library when that was a thing.
Yeah, when that was a thing that you could do. And
just
she
stopped being banned at this point, I believe.
Yeah, and she didn't know what it was at all. No. And we somehow convinced her to get it out for us. And after a good hour...
Yeah, and at least an hour, I think we got to the scene where she is fingering herself with a crucifix.
Yes. Which is like a good hour in.
Yeah.
At least.
And that's where our nan went, actually, this might be a bit much.
Yeah, she went, oh, this is a bit much, and then turned it off. I think that was actually her phrase. Oh, this is a bit much.
This is a bit much. I had nightmares for like 3-4 months after that.
Yeah, I had nightmares for a long time after that, all and Linda I haven't Blair. Watched it since. You have. Yeah. I haven't watched it since, and but I've actually been ago. Quite... like anxious about watching it because I really didn't want to. And then we started doing this, we're like, okay, we've got to do The Exorcist at some point. So our kind of 20th episode, which is actually only a couple away, is just going to be that one, and we're going to go really deep into The Exorcist, which I'm going to hate because I'm just going to get like flashbacks, like Narm or something.
You're gonna love to see. You're gonna welcome Pazuzu like an old friend. Oh, that's what God. You're gonna do. Yeah, I saw it only last year for the first time since then. So yeah. That's over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I'll save what I think about it.
Yeah, I'll get to it. So that'll be in a couple of weeks. But yeah, next week, Last House on the Left for anybody watching along. Last House on the Left, the 1972 version, and USA's Ready or Not. So we'll see you next week.
Let's do it.